Well, that will be a great time, won't it? When every knee shall bow and Christ will rule in His millennial kingdom, and there will be peace on earth. Meanwhile, we live in the nasty now, and so we need some biblical principles to guide us in this life. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the biblical principles for Christian voters. I know a lot of people think that churches and pastors and Christians ought to stay out of politics. I don't know where you got that idea, but you didn't get it from the history of our nation, nor did you get it from the Word of God. I think the government's supposed to leave us alone, but we're supposed to be light and salt involved in the government. And without that, we're going to be in a mess, and that's why we are in part of the mess we're in today. Matthew 22, look there just a second. Matthew 22, and we'll begin with verse 15 and read through verse 22. This is just a principle that Christ gave in the life of Christ. The Pharisees are always trying to trap him. Verse 15, Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. That's sort of dumb, isn't it? Try to entangle God in His talk. And they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man or what man thinks about it, for Thou regardest not the person of men. And they were sort of bragging on Him there. Then they said, Tell us therefore. Now remember, their motive was to entangle Him. And they giving him all of these little sweet accolades here. Then they said, Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute or pay tax unto Caesar or not? Well, they thought they had him. We've got you now. What are you going to say? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Now, if I told somebody that, you'd get mad at me, but Jesus, He can do that. Show me the tribute money. They brought unto Him a penny. And He said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto Him, Caesar's. Then saith He unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar, to government, the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left Him, and went their way. He had them, didn't He? He gave them an answer they couldn't handle, and they took off. And that's the way the enemies of God always are going to wind up doing in the long run. I believe that the Christian has a real responsibility about government matters, and I believe we have civic responsibility. We as believers should participate and be involved in whatever is going to have an impact on our culture and our society. That only makes common sense, and it certainly makes sense from the Word of God. And I believe that God's Word gives that principle or those biblical principles all along as He shows us that. Christians are to be involved in what we would call the democratic process of voting in our republic that we have. In verse 21, I believe that's what He's saying. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, render to God what belongs to God. In other words, be involved in government and civic responsibility as is expected. Be involved in the spiritual things of your life as is expected. We have a responsibility to government. We have a responsibility to God. Do you know this coming Tuesday we're all going to vote? You say, no, I'm not registered. Well, shame on you. You should be registered to vote. Shame on you if you're not. I believe this. And you say, well, I'm not registered. Then you're going to vote by default. No vote is a vote for the enemy and for those things that are wrong. Default, failing to vote. And then some are going to vote. You're going to vote carelessly. You're going to vote party. your grandpa was a Democrat or your grandma was a Republican, so you're going to vote the way they voted. And I know that runs against the grain against some of you, but just get sanded down and you'll be all right. You ought to vote for what's true. You ought to vote principle. You ought to vote Bible. You ought to vote Christian. You ought to vote for those things. We all should vote for those things that God has laid down in His Word, carelessly, out of ignorance or selfishness. We vote out of ignorance or we vote for our pocketbook, because our values are screwed up. They're messed up. We don't think right. We're not thinking about heaven and morality and souls being saved and revival. We're thinking about retirement and money and how I can buy all my toys and how I can have more money. So many times, those are the things that cause us to vote the way we vote. And many people will vote in a socialistic mindset and not even admit that that's what it is. They'll do that. We vote carelessly. That's why we give out these voter guides, free voter guides. You don't get many things free in this world anymore. Pick one of these up. You say, well, you're not going to tell me how to vote. That's not what this tells you to do. It tells you what people believe. It tells you where these candidates stand. It tells you if they're for abortion or if they're not for abortion. It tells you if they're for a homosexual lifestyle or not for a homosexual lifestyle being recognized. It tells you if they are for same-sex marriages or they're not for same-sex marriages. Duh! Wake up, Christian, for God's sake. Wake up and know what you're voting for. We ought to vote for what is right. And we should be informed as to what people believe. And it's our responsibility to be informed as to who we're going to vote for. You say, well, I'm going to vote for the party. Well, shame on you. If the party doesn't stand for what's right, you ought to throw the party out the window. Vote for what is right. And then what we need to do, there's a third group, and they're going to be the people that believe this book and they're informed and they believe what's right and they're going to vote for what's right. They'll say, I'm not thinking about my pocketbook and my ease. I'm thinking about what is right. Now, I believe that Christians also have another responsibility, and that is not only to vote right, but it's to pray for our leaders. I believe we ought to pray for the president and the vice president, the Speaker of the House, and others. And I believe we ought to go to God and ask God if they're immoral and unbelievers and they're doing the wrong thing. We need to pray they'd get saved. Pray that they'd come to know Christ. I don't want my worst enemy to die and go to hell. I really don't. And I'll tell you, some of the political leadership today I totally 100% absolutely disagree with. But I don't want them to die and go to hell. I'd rather see them get saved. I hope they will get saved. They'll have to get saved in spite of all of their liberal philosophy, but they can be saved. The Apostle Paul was dead wrong, politically and otherwise, religiously, but he got saved when he saw the light, when he had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe even politicians can be saved. They can come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. 1 Timothy tells us, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, that's praying for other people, praying on behalf of others, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. It behooves us to pray for the leadership. We pray and ask God to put good people in office and remove those that are bad or change the hearts of those who are contrary to the Word of God. Prayer changes things. How many of you believe prayer changes things? Amen. I'm glad you're not hyper-Calvinist. Some of you don't know what that means, but there are some people that teach that it doesn't do you any good to pray. What's going to be is going to be. That's not what the Bible teaches. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer changes things. Pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Get right and pray. And that'll have an impact on our nation. I think Christians are to respect and obey their governmental leaders. The Bible tells us that. The Bible is very clear about that. Turn to Romans 13 if you would, right quick, if you can find that very quickly. Romans 13, and hear the principles, the first seven verses of chapter 13 of the book of Romans. Let every soul, beginning with verse 1, let every soul, Romans 13, 1, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Listen, those in office wouldn't be in office today unless God had a plan and God allowed them to be there. And anytime He wants them out, He can get them out. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, taxes also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. God says, don't owe anybody anything, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another, or loveth another, hath fulfilled the law. That's the main thing. What he is simply saying is, God ordained government for our protection. God ordained the laws of government so we could be protected and live a peaceful life in that area. Now, there comes a time if the government asks you to go against the will of God, if the government says, violate this book, if the government says, don't do what God says or do what God has said not to do, then you draw the line and you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Amen? I'm sorry, I can't do that. And in the early church, we have some folks that did that. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They said, you quit preaching this gospel around like you're doing it, and we're telling you you're going to prison if you don't stop it. And they said, we got to do what God says to do. He is the boss. He is the one we're going to listen to, and not government in that case. And so there comes that point where that line is drawn. But otherwise, Christians are to respect and not a government. I know some preachers that said, I never will pay tax. I never have paid taxes. Shame on them. They get to drive on the same roads I do. Potholes and all. Amen? I don't like where some of my tax money goes, but I'm supposed to pay tribute. I'm supposed to pay taxes. And a person who lies about their taxes, even if they are Baptist, capital B, F with a fundamental Baptist, and they lie and cheat on their taxes, you're still robbing and you're a thief. You have these little ways of getting around it. No, we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to pay our taxes. But when it comes to the place of obeying God or man, God says you can draw that line. And then Christians ought to elect to office those candidates, those people who will uphold and mirror in their own personal life, in their own personal, not just their words, but in their own personal lives, biblical righteousness. Biblical righteousness. Why is that important? If somebody walked up to you and said, why is it important that we have leadership that has biblical righteousness? How would you answer them? Well, the Bible says righteousness does what? Exalteth a nation. You want to know why we're coming down? We've quit being righteous. You want to know why we were where we were? We were a righteous nation. And the more we get away from God, the further down we're going to go. And we're headed for an economic crisis like you cannot believe. It doesn't mean we're to panic. It's going to come, and we are close to it. I'll be preaching some messages on that later on. in a series of messages, but I'm telling you, the reason we have dropped down educationally, the reason we owe China and Japan and Russia, that we're indebted to them, and our interest alone, you would be amazed at what it is on a daily basis of the millions of dollars we owe in interest, and we can't even pay off the principal. We owe everybody in the world that has any money. And 75% or plus of the oil is owned by Muslim nations. Friend, we're headed for that kind of thing. But we need to have people that are in office who reflect biblical righteousness, because righteousness exalteth a nation. And there's no way to get around that. But sin is a reproach to any people. That is a principle of the Word of God. We need to have candidates that would reflect biblical righteousness in a lot of different areas. Not just in maybe one or two areas, but in a lot of different areas. One of those is they must recognize the biblical blueprint and plan for what a family is. I want to vote for somebody who understands what God says a family is. What a real family is. In a real family, we had some people a while back that I preached on homosexuality. They were in the service and they got mad and left. So be it. I told them God loves them. I told them God would save them. I told them that they need to change their lifestyle. Do you think I'm ashamed of telling them that? Absolutely not. That's what the Bible teaches. But I want somebody that understands that a marriage and a family is not two homosexuals getting together and calling themselves Adam and Adam, or Eve and Eve, or whatever it may be. God didn't plan it that way. Hey, watch out. You get to where you'll soft pedal that just like the rest of society. You'll say, oh, they're sick. No, they're not sick. They're sin sick. And people get all up. You're getting uptight right now because I'm talking about it. I can see it. You're just so uptight. I'm telling you, the Bible says, what if I get up here and say, you shouldn't murder? Everybody say, amen. Well, what do you base that on? What do you base that on? The Bible. If I get up and say homosexual is wrong, you go, our culture, society, well, I don't know. Does that mean we don't like them, we hate them, we want to see them go to hell? No. A homosexual is no worse a sinner than a whoremonger. But both are sinful. God will save the homosexual. God saved the woman at the well, but when she left, he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Don't do that anymore. And the church has gotten where, because of culture, we get uptight about all this non-politically correct mess. We need to hit the altar and get right with God and say, forget all that baloney, and let's get back to the book and do what the book says. Amen. I'm not homophobic. Brother, homosexuality is wrong. I love them. I know there have been people who have left the church because I preached on this, because they had a child that was a homosexual or a daughter that was a lesbian. Listen, friend, you ought to thank God that I'm preaching the truth. That's the only hope they'll ever get right with God. And they're not gay. They're miserable people. They need the Lord. And when they get the Lord, they'll quit living in that lifestyle and they'll be happy people. Doesn't mean we don't like them. Doesn't mean we hate them. You say, what are you going to do if you meet one? I'm going to treat him with love and kindness. I may not shake hands with him, but I'm going to treat him with love. No, I'll shake hands with him. I'm kidding. But I want somebody that understands what a family is. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Listen to this. Male and female created he them. Oh God, you sure made a bad mistake. I don't think you made a mistake, do you? That's the way he made us. And one is to complement the other. And that's God's plan. And that's what a home really should be. Two people coming together. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve, And God brought them together, made them one, and that is a legitimate biblical marriage, and that's what it is. That's a marriage. That's a home. Establishing that kind of home. And God says that having babies is a good thing. And not being materialistically selfish so that we say, well, no, we just can have one. We can't have so on and so forth because of the economical situation. Shoot, have 20 or 30, you get a bigger tax deduction. You don't even have to pay taxes. They'll be paying you. I think they also have an obligation to protect our churches so that we get to continue to preach in freedom. There's a group of preachers. I didn't hear about it until it was sort of too late. There's a whole group of preachers got together a while back, and they said, we're tired of this malarkey, and we're going to take a stand, and we're going to say we have a right to preach whatever the Bible says from the pulpit, and the government, that's all right. You just go on about your business, and we're going to preach the Word of God. And I'm glad. I'm glad we're standing up and not kowtowing to the political correct crowd, which is always contrary to the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 tells the husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the what? Church. Not only the body that one day is going to be complete and taken to heaven, like Jennifer was singing about a while ago, but the local church right now. God loves the local church. Government, leave us alone. Leave God's institution alone. And you'll find that they're taxing everything they can now. It won't be long till you won't get a tax deduction one of these days for your tithes and offerings. We'll see who really is doing it for the right reason then. That shouldn't be the motive of our giving, and surely it isn't your motive. Preserving the sacredness of human life. I want somebody who believes that human life is sacred. I don't want a bunch of people that are going to put in some kind of health care program that's going to favor euthanasia, murdering and killing and letting die the senior citizens. And the older I get, the harder I preach on this. Used to, I preached, but now, man, it's getting closer. And I'm saying, listen, they have no right to do that. They don't have a right to take an old person's life. They don't have a right to take a baby's life. A baby in the womb. Preserving the sacredness of human life from conception. Thought I'd get an amen on that. From conception all the way to death. God makes you in the womb. God does it. You say, well, I just don't believe that. I just believe it was mom and daddy and that was it. Psalm 139. Listen to it. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You're not an accident. None are accidents. God placed you and developed you in his miraculous way of doing it. You're a creation of God in the womb. One of the most unsafe places in the world to be today is a mother's womb. Can you believe that? One of the most unsafe places in the world today, in our country, in our culture, around the world, is in the mother's womb. The sacredness of human life. And then I think they ought to embrace a work ethic and thrift. In case you don't understand that, that's anti-communism and anti-socialism. Political science in a nutshell. And these are definitions. Communism. Now I'm going to wake some of you up when I get to capitalism, but don't hold it against me. Communism. You have two cows. The government takes both of them and gives you a part of the milk. I'm making it simple for some of you who hadn't figured this thing out. Socialism. That's where we're headed. That's what they're trying to do right now. Socialism. You have two cows. The government takes one of them and gives it to your neighbor. Even though you've worked hard to get those two cows. Fascism. You have two cows. The government takes both of them and sells you the milk. Nazism or anything like that. You have two cows. The government takes both of them and shoots you. That's Hitler style. Bureaucracy. You have two cows. The government takes both of them, shoots one, milks the other one, then pours the milk down the drain. Studying the sex life of a red bug. Some kind of real important thing. Capitalism. Hang on. Put your seatbelt on. Some of you are going to think I'm very carnal. You have two cows. You sell one of them and you buy a bull. Amen. That's capitalism. If you can't understand that, see me after church. And Brother Rigsby and I will explain it to you. We need capitalism, not socialism. Capitalism is taught in the Bible. Now, capitalism isn't going to save the world. I'm not saying that. But it's a whole lot better than socialism. And a whole lot better than communism and anything else that's out there. They ought to also accept the ultimate responsibility for their attitudes and their behavior. Romans 14 tells us that. They ought to reflect Christian lifestyle and character. They ought to love others no matter what their ethnic background is. Hey, there is such a thing as reverse discrimination. And we all need to love one another and forget about the race and the color and those things and the economic status. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed it, but our country is going more and more the way of other socialistic countries where you have the haves and the have-nots. And one of these days, some of you Baptists are going to be riding motorbikes if we don't get this thing straightened out. 1 Corinthians tells us we ought to love people. Amen? And we shouldn't base that on a biased opinion and ethnic situation. And then Christian Americans should endeavor to live their lives so that God can and will bless them and also bless our nation. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, walk as children of God. Now here's the thing. Your vote counts in an election. It really does. Many elections have been lost or won by one vote. One vote. Some of the most important elections in the world in our country have been won or lost by one vote. Your vote does count. It counts in an election. And you cast the deciding vote in spiritual matters to some degree by the way you vote. You cast your vote in spiritual matters such as salvation. You see, God gives you a vote. God says, I'm the door. If you'll come through the door, you can be part of my fold. I'm the door. Would you come? What's your vote going to be? I talked to a 26-year-old young lady yesterday, Brother Wren and I, and I said, who do you think Jesus is? I don't know. I said, well, let me tell you who he is. Why don't you get saved? Don't want to. I said, doesn't bother you that you might die and go to hell instead of going to heaven? I don't know. 26 years of age. And I offered her an opportunity to be saved. She voted. She said, no. I took my Bible. I said, can I show you? Can I just take a minute? No. Don't want to know. She voted. I hope she lives long enough. She'll remember what I told her and maybe she'll get saved. But if she dies in that condition, her vote is going to keep her out of heaven. To every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul will go. You have a vote. You can decide to reject Jesus, who loves you and died for you and wants you to go to heaven. Oh, he loves you. Or you can say no to the precious Redeemer, Jesus. He'll let you do that. But if you die like that, you'll die and you have voted to go to hell. How sad. There is no neutrality. I like that old song said, neutral you cannot be. Someday the Lord will be asking, what will you do with me? What have you done with me? Now's the time. We know that from Hebrews 7. Today's the day. In the matter How about in the matter of sin in your life? You have a vote. Not only about all these other things, but how about that sin you know that you're hanging on to in your life? Or might say those sins. You have a vote. You will never have God's financial blessings. You will never have God's spiritual blessings and other blessings on your life, on your marriage, your family, you as an individual, until you get that sin question straightened out in your life. You will always have problems until you get it straightened out. You got to get it straightened out. You say, well, you just have to obey God. Just obey God. You have a vote. God will not make you live right. You can choose to live right. You have a vote. But if you vote not to, get ready, because God is going to take out His holy heavenly razor strap and wear your spiritual backside out until you get it right. Until you get it totally right. Completely right. Not just partially right. We like to feel good about getting partly right with God. Well, I've made some strides. God says, get right with me. Just get right with me. Whatever that area may be. Make a commitment to God today to get saved. Make a commitment to live right, and make a commitment in your life to say, hey, voting for my country and righteousness is important, and I need to do it. God says, get out of the warehouse and be salt and light out there. We need to do it. Let's stand, please. God, we know that you love all sinners, and not one sinner is better than another sinner. We know you love the whoremonger and the homosexual, the lesbian and the thief, the murderer and the rapist. And you'll save them if they'll come to Christ. And we pray that people would be saved. And Father, we pray that if there are those here without Christ today, that they'd vote to receive Jesus as their Savior. We pray that Christians might decide today to get rid of practice sin in their lives, wrong attitude, some kind of sin that they know you've spoken to their hearts about, to get obedient in that area, to vote to do that. And then God, help us to understand that as citizens of the United States of America, this country you raised up 200 plus years ago, that we have a responsibility to keep it as righteous as we can, that our families, our children, our grandchildren might see the blessings of you upon them. We might see it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us to vote right today, in Christ's name.